Jackson Mayor Derek Dobies joins us a little later than normal today. Yeah, the, now Dobies is what, 6'4"?
Oh, I'm 6'3" now. Yep, I feel like I've shrunk a little bit since my high school
you
days.
You are not. You're 6'5".
The crushing weight of public service has got me down about 6'3".
Old Gilchrist, he's about 7'3", I think.
Yeah, he's his head's brushing the tops of the ceilings. I feel like I look across the room and I always ask the people around me, is that what I look like in office? You know, tall people just, you don't realize how you look in a crowd until you see another tall person, and then you realize how awkward you look. So,
so I know you're big on of having a very safe Halloween around here.
Yeah, so we encourage people, and now we're starting to see some spikes in COVID cases. So we want to continue to encourage people to practice safe social distancing guidelines and be safe during whatever Halloween celebrations that they may partake in. We've at the last city council meeting passed a resolution for Halloween, encouraging trick-or-treating around the 6 to 8 o'clock time, and then put out some guidelines for how people can safely participate in trick-or-treating by staying, within groups of their own households and maintaining space as they walk through the neighborhoods going door-to-door. And then if you're planning on passing out candy, make sure that you're also being safe and putting out a table in front of your home so you're minimizing contact with people, touching your door or opening the door and things like that. Wearing masks under whatever Halloween masks you're actually wearing. So, we just want people to be safe, and we know that there's a lot of people that want to get out there and want to celebrate. And, my daughter included, she's got her vampire costume all set up, and she's excited to be a little 4-year-old vampire. So we just want people to be safe and cognizant of the fact that we're not out of the pandemic yet, and we all have to continue to do our part to keep each other safe.
Yeah, cases have certainly spiked in Michigan, and I guess here in Jackson County also the cases are up.
Yep, in Jackson too, and we've had some cases in some of the school systems. So we just have to be, I think, safe and careful. And Jackson's done a really great job. This community's done a really great job in coming together and taking the precautions necessary to help slow the spread and bend the curve back down. And while we're kind of riding a little bit of a uptick in the curve here, I think that we've been through this before, and we can make sure that we're doing whatever we can to bend that curve back down again.
So talk about this new police department Take Me Home program.
Yeah, so one of the things that former city councilwoman Colleen Sullivan made a priority and put in order was having a conversation around what our officers and other kind of first responders and some of our inspectors and so forth can do to be more accommodating to families with children and siblings and spouses and loved ones that have certain disabilities, certain, that have cognitive disabilities, have Alzheimer's, dementia, autism, so on and so forth, particularly with her. She has a son with autism, and that it creates a number of different challenges, and one of which is when those individuals wander or get lost or somehow get out of their house and out of the supervision of a loved one. It can be very scary. That stuff happens, and when our police department, police officers come in contact with those individuals in the community, and they don't know, where they are, can't maybe tell the officers where their home is, things right. like that. it makes it really challenging for the officers and really scary for those families. So the Jackson Police Department has launched a Take Me Home program, and they're encouraging those families with those loved ones that have those challenges to sign up for that program, provide that contact information, and then a file photo of the individual so that when they come in contact with those individuals, they can better identify them and make sure that they get returned home safely.
Makes a lot of sense.
It does. It makes a lot of sense, kind of something that's common sense, and we hope a lot of people will sign up to help us. And, you know, families that have those that, you know, suffer from dementia or have autistic children, things like that. I think it makes a lot of sense. And our chief of police just put out a video, I think, on our Facebook page sometime this week talking about the program, and hopefully we'll get a lot of people to participate and make the job of reconnecting those individuals with their families a whole lot easier.
So the King Center will reopen this week?
Yeah, I actually snuck in there yesterday. It was had a construction crew going, and they were cleaning and polishing the floors and stuff, and kind of took a quick peek, sneak peek. But we're going to do official kind of ribbon cutting this Thursday, and you know, it is. I think going to be transformational for the neighborhood, for the Southside community, for those that have gone to the King Center for, in some families, for generations, that have grown up with the King Center. I mean, it is nice. There's a lot more fenestration, a lot more natural light coming into the building. The workout facility is great. Kind of looks out onto the basketball courts there. We also put a washer and dryer in there, and for people that need to wash their gym clothes or what have you, jerseys. And then there's a big, we took John Willis's old office straight in the back there and converted that into the kitchen. So we put a full new kitchen in there and bumped out the front of the building, and it looks great. I'm really excited about it. The community, I think, is really excited. And, you know, it's been the first major reinvestment in the King Center since it was built. So, you know, we were able to get that done. That was one of my priorities in running for mayor back in 2017. And, you know, was happy to get it done, and now happy to be have the project complete and be cutting the ribbon on it.
That building gets a lot of use.
And kind of when we had our neighborhood meeting, or sorry, city council meeting there the other night in the neighborhood at the King Center and the pavilion, we had a number of different individuals from the community come out and talk to us about how excited they were with the building and what else we could do in the surrounding area to, you know, there's a walk path around there that a lot of people from the community use to kind of walk around the fields there, and just gave us some other ideas of other things that we could do. I'd love to get a splash pad in there at some point for those hot summer months on the south side for kids to kind of show up. There's already a huge playground there. So I think there's some other things that we can do in the future, but obviously the big ticket item was getting the MLK Center rehabbed, and you know, we're looking to open it back up for business here after Thursday.
Now, how long will people be able to vote downtown?
People will be able to vote downtown by walking into the clerk's office up until election day. So, you know, you can walk in, file for a absentee ballot application, get that handed to you right there, and vote it. And there's a you can hand it back to the clerk, or there's a drop box actually inside of City Hall on the first floor through the doors there. And there's also one outside that is emptied frequently throughout the day. In fact, I was just in City Hall yesterday and saw our city treasurer emptying the box and making sure that we're, you know, counting everybody's vote. And we've had record numbers of people voting by absentee ballot, I think, because, you know, it's the because of some changes that were made with Prop 3, allowing anyone for any reason to vote absentee through the comfort of their own homes. And also because we're still in the midst of a pandemic and there's some concern of the spread of the disease. And I think it's going to be a record-setting year for people voting and participating. From everything that I've seen, there's a lot of excitement out there and a lot of interest in the election. And I think there's going to be a lot more people hopefully casting their ballots even before the November 3rd election day.
Well, you get some rest, Derek.
Will do.
Take care.
We'll try.
Talk to you next week.
Thanks, Greg.